I've been noticing recently, well, actually for some time, that a lot of people are spending a lot of, or supposed to be Christians, are spending a lot of effort and their time calling other people false prophets. I've noticed on Facebook some that people spend a lot of energy trying to prove their point of what they believe and what they're saying, and calling others false prophets. And I was thinking about that in Luke 9:49, the word says, and John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed us not. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And then in Colossians 2:16 says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holiday or of the new moon or of the Sabbath. And then in Matthew 7:3 says, and why beholdest thou the mote which is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? And I looked up the word mote, and it meant chaff or a twig. And I was thinking about these scriptures that talk about that, and our relationship with others. And the thought came to mind, you know, we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we are to come forth with His nature and His image, that we are being changed or transformed or metamorphosed into the same image that He is. That when we are birthed into the kingdom of God, or when we experience spiritual awakening and see who we are, we come as babes drinking the milk of the Word. But there comes a day when we are to grow up and to eat of the sincere milk of the Word. I mean, the meat, to eat of the meat of the Word. We are the ministry, and we've said it before not too long ago, that has been placed in the body of Christ, has been placed there for the edifying and the maturing of the body of Christ until we all come into the full stature and the measure of Christ. Unto a perfect man. And that word in Ephesians 4, perfect, is brought to an end, finished, nothing lacking, or nothing necessary to completeness, perfect or full grown. God, we talk a lot about the manifestation of the sons of God, because that is the vision that God has given us in this hour, that there's coming a time that God's going to take the veil off and manifest His sons in the earth. And there's going to be a glorious transformation that is going to begin happening on this earth. But God, in this hour, is birthing a full-grown, mature son in His image and in His likeness. You know, we don't have time to go back and to judge others for what they believe or how they see something. That's between them and God. God created all things, and all things were made for Him and by Him, and there was nothing created that was not created with Him. And when we think back in Genesis, when Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden fell, that was not a surprise to God. That was, God sees the ending from the beginning. That was not something that blindsided God, as some would think, and then God had to go to plan B. God had a plan and a purpose that He put into action and motion in the beginning, before the creation of time. And nothing has altered or can alter that plan that He has proposed in Himself, because He is God. So we as His children are being transformed and changed in His likeness. Paul says something to me that's very interesting in 1 Corinthians 6:19. He said, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God?" And I love this. "And you are not your own." Think of that one little sentence. You are not your own. "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know, I have said before for years that I believe that one of the hardest position for us to ever find ourselves in would be a slave. That our rights would be taken away and we would have to serve another. I believe that's probably one of the hardest positions that a human being could find themselves in. But you know, that's what we are. We're not our own. We don't have to defend God. And we do not have to defend the revelation that God has given us. It's not ours to defend. And we don't have to critique and discuss, I shouldn't say discuss, but put down and judge and call someone else a false prophet where they are. We're not our own. And you know, the fact of the matter is that we don't have to defend where we are in God. God's going to fight for us. He's going to defend us. The Word tells us that when they were with the disciples, they were discussing what to do with the disciples, that one man stood up and said, "If this be God, you'll be found fighting against God." And I go back to the very beginning, to Jesus. You can go back to Jesus. It was the church of that day that crucified Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It was the church that persecuted and put Martin Luther through hell on earth for what God had shown him. It was the church that persecuted the Pentecostal movements of the 1906. It was the church that has persecuted the charismatic movement. It is the church that is persecuting or fighting against or calling false prophets or heresy that which we believe today. But thank God that there is a people in this earth and on this earth today who have in the past seen a progressive vision of what God is doing in the earth, and a people that God has given a willing heart to walk through and into a new understanding and a new revelation. A people who does not have the ability to write their beliefs in stone and build their foundation and build their headquarters and say, "This is it. God has ceased to speak any further than what we see or believe." You know, I believe that is a magnificent quality that God has placed in a people upon whom He has laid His hand and called to be sons in the earth today, who their destiny is to be manifested as sons in the earth. A people who is able to walk from one revelation into a new revelation without balking or calling it wrong or not of God, but to search the Scriptures to see whether it be of God. Because when God speaks to us, there's no confusion. It's in peace. And you know, in Ephesians, the first chapter, Paul praying for his church, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of your glory of His inheritance in the saints. You see, that's where it is, knowledge that you may know. Romans says that be not conformed or formed together with this world, but to be transformed, metamorphosed, by the renewing of your mind. It's in the knowledge of Him. And how do you get that? By hearing the Word of God, by hearing the revelation, by hearing what He says, by meditating on it, by pondering on it, by allowing that Word to become a part of your spirit, a part of who you are. Now, going back to what I said, you're not your own. You don't have to fight for yourself. You don't have to defend what you believe. If it be of God, it will stand. I remember years and years ago, it was probably in the late 70s or early 80s, that Floyd Watson and I, as we began to see and to understand that God was going to save all, we had a minister come through, and we got brave enough to ask him the question about this teaching. And his answer was that every 50 years it comes up and emerges again, but it always dies away and goes away. But you know, that's been probably 30 years ago at least. And I have seen it intensify. Hallelujah. I have seen this word of reconciliation begin to be birthed in a people as a word of reality that is looking forward to that day of expression when God's going to birth His mature Son in the earth. Take the veil off and show this world that mature Son in the day of manifestation. That word has not gone away. That word has not diminished. That word has not decreased. That word has increased. That word has multiplied until we are seeing many people that are beginning to see what we see. And you see, if it be of God, if you're against it, you're fighting against God. You're fighting against that God, but God has called us to be like Him and in His image. So, you know, this thing of us thinking, well, I've got to defend myself. Well, you're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. We are the children of the Most High God. We have been birthed into the kingdom of God. We are His children and we are His people. And we are to be in His image and in His likeness. And in Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In 1 John 4:18, it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world. And in 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are the sound sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. He was unconditional love. We must be unconditional love. He said, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. I am free to love creation because my Father loved me unconditionally. You see, that one teaching of the Word of God, to me, is the first and the foremost trait of the very character and nature of a child of God, is love. That doesn't make you wishy-washy. That doesn't make you not stand up for what is right. But unconditional love. That gives me the freedom to love that person that may be teaching something contrary to what I see, without ever calling them or judging them or condemning them. You see, unconditional love gives us the freedom to love and to include everyone. Love draws everybody in. And if there's anything that this world needs to see today, is the love of God. I mean, you see Christians suing one another in the church, in the same church, over the church, or suing the preacher, or suing the... You see Christians supposedly going to church and will not speak to one another because of something that has happened. Unconditional love does not allow that. And that is the one trait that you cannot fake. Unconditional love cannot be faked. Because I don't care what happens, if you're faking it, there's going to come somebody that's the roughest sandpaper in the world and rough up against you, and you're going to show your true colors. Unconditional love flows out from a intimate, close relationship with God the Father. Beloved, in this hour, this is a time that we are being transformed, metamorphosed, changed into His image and His likeness. And we look at the things that touch our lives, and sometimes we want to say, God, why? I don't deserve that. Look, we have got a Father that is the refiner of the gold. And He knows how hot the furnace has to be, that the impurities within us flow off from the top. Because we are going to be presented as the finest gold that has been tried in the fire. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's the only thing. God knows what to allow to come into our lives. He didn't promise us, as the country song says, a bed of roses. He didn't promise us a paved highway. He didn't promise us that there wouldn't be any valleys in any mountains. But what He did promise us, that there is no temptation that has overtaken man that is not common to him, but what He'll make a way for us to bear it. He has made a path in the wilderness for us to walk through. Wherever we are, He is there. Whatever we're going through, He is there. In the night, in the storm, in the valley, in the mountain, no matter where, He's there. He's with us everywhere. He's closer than the breath that we breathe. And the fact of the matter is that we are being changed into His image and His likeness. He was full of mercy and compassion. And He tells us in 1 Peter 3:8, finally, brethren, be you all of one mind, having compassion on one another, love as brethren, be pitiful. I looked at that and it's tender. Be courageous. In the Amplified, that verse says, finally, brethren, all of you should be of the same mind, united in spirit. Notice that. Your mind, your soul, and your heart. Those three words in the Greek are about the same. So, be of the same mind, united in spirit, sympathizing with one another, loving each other as brethren of one household, compassionate and courteous, tender-hearted, and humble. And Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Beloved, we're living in a day when God is changing the people into His likeness and into His image. A people that have been purchased with a price, and a people that are not their own. There's not a one of us in this room this morning that asked to be where we are today. Could we have designed and prepared and lived our lives the way we wanted to, we would not be in this situation. I remember in the early years of when I first started preaching that one of the things that, and I'm going to say it, one of the things I did not like and I really detested was an independent preacher that had gone out and built his own church. I didn't look very kindly upon those that were not a part of a denomination or an organization. Somebody was out there doing it on their own. That was not what I wanted. But you know, I can look back and I can see in my life that God did it. I didn't do it because it was not what I wanted. God brought me out. God brought us out of that which had organized and put us where He wanted us. And I have found peace in walking where God has us. Because I recognize that God's first fruit people are, it's not easy to live pioneering that which God is saying in this hour all the time. Because people certainly do look down on you and certainly call you heretics and false prophets and all of those kinds of things. But you know, the security that we have found in God in knowing that the word that He has shown us is a reality. It's real within us. It's something that God has so implanted in us that it cannot be moved. And that it is through that intimate relationship with Him that we're putting on His nature and on His character. And it doesn't matter that we don't, that we're bought with a price, that we're not our own anymore. But because we see the bigger plan of God, we see the reality that in the end, God is going to gather all back into Himself, that He may be all and in all. And that the revelation that He has given us, we have learned that we must walk in each revelation. We must walk out each revelation. We cannot just skip from one revelation to another revelation. But it must be worked in us to bring change, to become a part of us. God's Word must become a part of us, a part of our lives. And that's why that when that word takes hold in our spirit or in our mind, that we're changed. And every place that we put our feet and step on that we possess, that the word shows us who we are and shows us the changes that need to be made, that can never be turned back. That's a permanent change in our lives that we're going through. And you know, to be able to allow people to live where God has put them without spending our time and our energy to tell them how wrong they are or to show them, call them a false prophet or a heretic, we don't have time for that. if you take care of your own house, your own tabernacle, your own temple, who you are God's temple, and walk where God wants you. You see, what we are, the Bible says we're ambassadors. That means we are the representatives of the kingdom of God on the earth. We are an expression of God in the earth. God is expressing Himself through a people. And if we're fussing, fighting, hating, and spouting out all kinds of things, the word Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart and the mouth speaketh. And brother, when you, and sisters, when you're spouting out all kinds of things against others, that's what's in your heart. But when you come into that unconditional love, and you're able to include all as God's creation, you can't do that without God doing it in you. He's bringing that people forth. He's going to birth a mature son of the earth. And that's why it is important in this hour that we come into that close relationship with Him. That we spend time meditating upon His Word. That we spend time in His presence. That we spend time not only in His presence, but in the presence of each other. Because we're the body, the corporate body of Christ. And even though we may not be talking about spiritual things all the time, we're still drawing from the Spirit that is within each other. Because God has given us an alike vision. He's placed us together sovereignly from the different walks of life. And we don't look at each other and criticize and judge, but we unconditionally love each other. Mm-hmm. With all the faults and the failures and the outward looks and everything that we are, we've put those aside and realized and behold, hallelujah, the Christ that is within each of us. That we march on together toward that glorious day. And I don't believe it's long. I think the things in this world, the condition of this world, and the intensity of the birth pains that are happening in the kingdom of God tell us that the day of the birthing of that corporate son is very close at hand. And how excited we get as we begin to realize that day is at hand. That God's going to birth a son in the earth. That's going to set creation free from the curse and the power and the pains of death and the grave. Into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Amen.